Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, my friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
After his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Then just before his ascension, he said to these same 11, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The word power, which the Lord used here, literally means miraculous strength. It is the root word from which we get our English words dynamo and dynamite. However, the word which he used to describe the power which he possesses is exousia, which literally means the privilege of force or mastery and jurisdiction. While any power which is given to his disciples is conferred to them and is manifested by the outworking of his Holy Spirit in them, his power is in no wise a derived power nor a conferred power, but that which he possesses as part of his person and character. He needs no one's approval, nor can his power or authority be in any wise diminished by any action or lack thereof on the part of any of his creation. He demonstrated that fact time and again as he shut the mouths of the gainsayers who sought to overturn his words, and proved himself to be invincible and untouchable until such time as it pleased him to lay down his life through the instrumentality of human hands, which he had ordained to fulfill his own purpose. Even as he told his disciples, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." It was impossible that he should in any wise be holden, that is, seized or retained by death, because death is as much at his beck and call as is any other part of his creation, both animate and inanimate. Yet in order to fulfill the righteousness of his own purpose, he did subject himself to it as a mortal man. As a mortal man, he did indeed triumph over death, forever destroying its power to keep or retain those for whom he came into the world to deliver. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. One of the most glorious revelations in all the scriptures is the fact that the God who inhabits eternity without beginning or end did take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and dwelt among finite men in a finite world. In so doing, he manifested himself as Emmanuel, that is, God with us. This was no afterthought nor remedy for an unforeseen problem, but rather a fulfillment of his own purpose to manifest his glory in the redemption of sinners. Before ever the foundation of this world was laid, he was already the Lamb slain. Christ stood as the covenant head of his elect bride before the foundation of the world. He created them to be the objects of his love, mercy, and grace in this world and that which is to come. This is too glorious for men to contemplate in all of its sublime details, but we have merely been given a glimpse of it in order to declare the glory of him who is worthy of all praise in the complete deliverance of those objects of his mercy. From time to time, we hear some talk of justification by faith, as if to say that men cause their justification to occur by believing the gospel. This is a total reversal of the truth and a usurpation of the authority of Jesus Christ to justify his elect. The justification of the sons of God rests completely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, who has made their justification by the imputation of his righteousness to them, solely based on that which he has performed in their behalf. They are given faith to believe it by the same power, and thus are manifested as those whom he has forever justified, even as Abraham believed God. God was not waiting for Abraham to believe, but was rather the moving cause of Abraham's faith, and the very object of it, even as God's children believe in the gospel in the day of his power. "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head. When from the dust of death I rise to take my mansion in the skies, in then shall this be all my plea, Jesus has lived and died for me."
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.